Peace, everyone. I'm Brother Shemuel. We are back with another episode of Masterminds with Brother Shemuel. I just had my esteemed guest on. He's having some technical difficulties, but he should be on very shortly. I appreciate everybody jumping on the live. I know we kind of like in the middle of the day. We don't usually do this in the middle of the week. Usually it's on the weekends, but definitely want to get my brother on, Brother Robert McCray. So hopefully he'll be able to jump on the stream. If not, I will go ahead and just give him a call and we'll do the interview like that. I think he's coming in right now. Hold on.
I see you now, Brother Sham.
You can see me now? Okay, we good. We good. It's a little static.
Put this back.
I can hear you clear now.
Okay, I'm just moving this stuff around. I see what happened. It's a little bit better
right now. I see you moving and everything. It's not freezing.
Okay,
you're good.
Yes, sir.
So again, want to introduce everyone to my esteemed guest, Brother Robert McCray. He is the CEO of Live Alkaline Water, LLC. He is also the founder of the Alkaline Fest here in North Carolina. And I want to take the time out to just introduce, okay. All right. He's just having a little bit of difficulty. But I want to take the time out to let everybody know, if you're looking at the description, then what you want to do is, okay. Everybody know,
if you're looking at the description. Yes, sir.
Yes, sir. I hear you now. Are you better?
Yes, sir. Yes, sir. I hear you now. Okay, sound good.
Okay, there's a little feedback, Noble.
Yeah, I'm trying to see if I can come on to another line.
Okay.
Feedback.
So I'll let you just introduce yourself to the people and let them know who you are and what it is you do, and we'll just take it from there.
Yes, sir. My name is Robert McCray, also known as Chief MUL of the Nobles for Tamil.
Sorry, people, he got cut off again. We're going to try to do this one more time. Okay.
Yeah, it's kind of lagging behind. Let's see if we can do it from a call.
We're going to do it from a call? Okay. All right. Brother Dula, I say he's calling now. Okay. That'll work. All right. Yeah, definitely. Definitely. No, I appreciate you. And I just want to take your time. I think you was before you was introducing yourself, you got cut off. So I'm going to allow you to actually introduce yourself to the people.
Yes, sir. Well, my name is Robert McCray, also known as Chief Israel. I am land considered Nobles for Town of Ray. I'm in domicile of North Carolina. So that's me. It's not a whole lot that I can say about myself, but I'm a man who wants to make a difference in the world. It's all messed up right now. I've been going sideways, so hopefully we can show our people what we're really doing and what we're really about.
Indeed, indeed. And just to give some backstory, you and I first came across each other, I think back in either 2010 or 2011.
It was 2010.
Yes, sir. Yes, I was in given an invite on a call. I joined in on the call, and you were speaking. You were speaking about this land in North Carolina, and and it was family land, and it has been in your family for many, many years. And I had the opportunity to come up there. Me and my good friend, Kush. Shout out to Kush. He's out there in South Carolina now. And we spent the weekend there. And you treated us just like family our first time coming up there. Never forgot that. Always appreciated that. And from then, we've known each other. You've been to my wedding. We broke bread together. Was in the early stages. I worked though, had the opportunity to work with you on Nobles for Tom Array. And since then you've gone on to do the great things you've done. If I may ask you, just based on our experience, when I first met you and when you were first doing what you were doing back in 2010, what was your inspiration to even do that?
Well, one wanted to see us as a people have a better life and seeking truth. You know, when a man seeks truth, you know, it'll take him on many journeys, many, many paths, many obstacles. But in reality, I wanted us to be better as a people. And I always questioned myself, why is it that we do things right, but we always lack?
Right.
It seemed that way, and I had an issue with that, and still even to this day have an issue with it. We can pray, we can fast, we can go to church, we can go to the synagogue, we can go to the mosque, whatever religious persuasion we have, we seem to put our heart in, but it seems that we're always last. So and that motivated me to want to say, okay, let me see what's really going on. Why are we last economically? Why are we last? And you look at our community, how the community is downtrodden, what is really going on, what is really happening. And once I really put my finger on it, then I started to really make a difference, not just with my family, but other families here and abroad. And that's why I'm doing what I'm doing now, because it makes a real difference and not just talk about a difference.
Indeed, absolutely. Yeah, and I can attest, you've definitely been an impact on me. So much so, my first book that I wrote and published, which is called Land of the Free, that was inspired by me meeting you and the work we were doing on the land. Because to your point, you and I know of, you know, many great movements that have been around from whether it's the Moorish Science Temple, Nation of Islam, the Nubian Nation, and yes. While all the intentions were good, we've never seemed to have our own. And even with the situation with Tom Array in Georgia, how that was taken away. And yes, one of the things you used to always talk about is us having the ability to be self-determined, live off the grid, grow our own food, have our own water. And that was the inspiration of that book, Land of the Free. How important do you see it being in terms of sustainable living for us as melanated people?
Well, it's so important that right now it's I consider it to be high alert for us, because you can see what's happening with the food, you can see what's happening with the water, you can see what's happening when people can't pay their bills. You know, everything has went skyrocketing, and everybody is in a raid trying to make ends meet. And this is the thing that I always said and to us, is that once we get off grid and be able to sustain ourselves, then we can take the very natural resources. resources that we have and start making what they want to call an income, or monetizing what we have. Mm-hmm. And so, yes, I see that as being very, very important. Even back then, I still stand on those same principles. I never changed. My principles never changed. So that's the thing that I'm pushing and always pushing. Look, we're living in a time now that it's very important that we have to have our own food. Let's say you wake up in the morning and the grocery store is shut down. You ain't got no resources to get no food. You don't have the finance to get food. It's going to be a problem. It's going to be chaotic. So why not offset that while we have a chance? And that's what I always push and advocate, is that, you know, you got land, you got resources, you got finances. And I have shown the proof and stood on that. And even all the way up to this day.
Indeed. And I know you can probably attest to it actually revealing itself to everybody during the so-called pandemic. What was it like for you? What was your experience? I know you was good, but in terms of you dealing with other people who were not as prepared, how was that experience?
It was wild, because right before it happened, a few days before, I say 2 months before it hit, we was having to get together out here on the property. And I stopped, so I'm just saying stop and talk to the people. I stopped and I told them, I say, something big is getting ready to happen and it's gonna shut everything down. So they was questioning me, they say, when? I said, I don't know exactly the date, nor the time, but I said, it's coming real soon. About 2 months later, they shut everything down. Mm. And I was getting all these phone calls, you know, from everybody, saying, how did you know it was gonna happen? What did you see? What did you feel? And I always look at it, and you've been on me for a while, been on each other for years. I always look at it like this. You know, it doesn't take a rocket scientist to see where we headed. And that's how I used to look at everything. Right. I can look at it and say, oh, we're going to have a problem about 5 or 6 years from now, because now they're going to start tempering stuff. I'm a very, very astute person when it comes to studying those before me, like Elijah Muhammad, Noble Drew Ali, Marcus Garvey, studying what Malcolm X talked about, what Farrakhan talked about, even with all these other leaders, with Malachi York talked about, I studied those guys. And I even studied scripture real heavy, even though I don't talk about it as much as I used to. And it was always a telltale sign when something get ready to happen. One of the things that I understand and oversee is that when the enemy get ready to strike, he always brag and boast about what he's going to do. And that's how you know something is about to come up here in the next couple of months, maybe a week, maybe 2 months.
Right.
When it hit, like I said, even now the people are not prepared, 95% of the people are not prepared. You know, we have to be in a position to say, look, let's make this fall a lot easier for us as possible if we can.
Absolutely.
And so during that pandemic, people ask me, well, what happened to you? Did your business fall? No, business actually thrived. Because we were taught, those of us that are astute, we was taught food, shelter, and clothing.
Yes.
If you can supply the people with basic necessities, that's going to always thrive. It's going to outlast what we consider time, our time.
Right. Absolutely. And so with that, being able to outlast all time, and you know that everything happens in cycles, what would you say now? Because I know you always on the cusp of things that are about to come down. What would you say to people would be the first steps to take? Let's say somebody's watching this and they don't know anything about doing a garden, any type of homesteading, anything. What would you say for them would be the first steps to take?
I would tell them to get with somebody who knows. Mm-hmm. Always find somebody who knows and learn. A good student is always learning from everybody. That's a good student. We realize that, we understand that, those of us with wisdom.
Yes.
So I'm saying find somebody that's doing something, growing food, teach you how to grow food, teach you how to garden. And then you find people with natural resources, you know, that's sustainable, like water.
Right.
You know, we understand water supersedes all time. Yes. Because it never stops. That's the only element I know that never stops. It's everywhere at all times. So get with people with resources, get with people that know, and become a student. And stop, I always tell people, become a student and stop trying to be the teacher.
Right. Absolutely. Absolutely. And you mentioned about the water. So that's a great segue into live alkaline water. If you can kind of give the people, let them know about how it started. Because when you and I first met and you had the idea of this, I remember we was taking trips to Atlanta, bringing in gallons. At the time, it was called Superior H2O, and then it became Live Alkaline Water. Can you kind of speak to that history, how everything, the fact of it being on your land and everything of that nature, if you don't mind?
Yeah, I'll give you a short history. I had a great aunt that I was at a church service. This is how originally the idea came about. At a church service, and she stopped the church service. She came up to me. She said, "You follow me." She told them to keep on doing what they're doing. And when she came outside and pointed out to the land, she said, "The blood of your ancestors are crying out for you. You are responsible." And at that time, being young, I didn't want that idea. Man, I'm like, this lady crazy. this old lady lost her mind. But see, sometimes the elders that we consider elders are beings that were sent specifically to guide us into our divinity. And once you know where I ran to, I ran all the way up there to Virginia. I was at Henderson. I was trying to get away from that responsibility. And that's, you know, that was where y'all came up. You and Brother Shim and them came up. And I mean, Brother Kush came up.
Yes.
And y'all came up and spent the night a couple of times up there.
Yes.
And we enjoyed what life was about. It was about living, trying to do something, learning, and being knowledgeable on what we know. So at the end of the day, when my great aunt told me to do that, you know, I kind of ran for about three years, you know. And the Most High got a call on you. You go come willingly or unwillingly. And I end up coming, you know. And we end up calling it Superior H2O. And at the time, it was one of the brothers that was with us. I don't want to call his name, but he was with us. And he done some things he wasn't supposed to do as far as setting up the structure for the water to go out there, and he ended up getting in a little trouble with it and came back to me, and that's how I found out things weren't set up correctly, because I trusted the brother to do his part. But after that, you know, he couldn't use Superior H2O no more, or that particular label that we had, because it was a copyright infringement problem. And because he didn't set it up right, it fell back on him and not the organization itself. So I kind of got a little aggravated stress with it, even though I didn't show it. Couple of nights I went to sleep, I saw it. Most I say, "This is what you're gonna call it from this point up. This is what I'm giving you." And so when I saw that, got up, trademarked, ran with it, hadn't changed the beat since. And that's kind of the short story of how it came about. And you're right, we used to do a lot of traveling, even went all the way up to New York with this war.
Yeah.
So we did a lot of traveling, brother, and did a lot of things together as a people.
Yeah.
And I'm grateful and thankful for you.
I'm grateful and thankful for you, Noble. And one of the things that in that experience that I realized was how powerful this water is. Now, we're talking the early 2010s, right? Sure. We're in 2024. I've seen people, I have to say, the people who were not as healthy become healthy. I'm going to use that term because I know certain people are watching. I ain't making no claims, but I bear witness to it. There was one instance where a young lady had a child, and her child was real young and was adverse to drinking water. They would not drink any water until they got a hold of the water from the land.
That's right.
I remember that clear as day. And so that kind of spoke to me because, you know, babies are more pure than us. You know, we done put all types of stuff into our bodies.
That's right.
You know, and for that baby to only crave that water,
yes, sir,
and no other water, that spoke volumes. You feel me?
Yes, sir.
So, yeah, I bear witness, definitely. Can you speak to the water itself as to it being alkaline? I remember I seen a recent video where you talked about the Ormus. You dropped a jewel on that. So can you kind of speak to the properties of the water?
Well, the water has 108 different trace minerals naturally. What most people don't know, that because at the time I really didn't know, that I'm sitting on 9 different color soils, you know, and each soil represents a mineral, and each mineral represents a particular color. So, and then when it got down to it, I looked at it, me and one of my brothers was pouring the water out on the concrete, and he looked at it, I looked at it, and the water was swirling like that. Like, what is going on with this water? And come to find out, it's structured water, and he had the water tested for Ormus. And the water is full of Ormus, and most people don't know what Ormus is. Ormus is, if you look it up, it's called white powder gold. It's actually gold mineral that's naturally in the water. That's a healing mineral. That's why you, like you said, I can testify to what you said about the little young baby getting healed.
Yes.
That's what heals people. It's naturally in the water. So when you got people adding atomic gold and all that similar to the water, it's already naturally in this water. It's already naturally in the soil, in the rocks that's out here, which we call jewels. So that's the short version of it. So yes, the water is very powerful. And I can attest, I see people with sugar diabetes, heart problems, high blood pressure. One sister called me, she said she was using the water as drops in her eyes, and she was legally blind. Now she ain't.
Wow.
She just hearing the bell. Yeah. That sister, when she told me that, I just sat back and took a deep breath, and I'm thankful because you never know the people you help.
Yes.
I don't know how many people this water done help. And that my job is, I can keep telling people, I'm just to keep Brother Vineyard, and I want to see how people well, because if we eat right, drink right, you already know the saying, we think right as a people, and we'll do what's right.
Yes. Yeah, absolutely. Yeah, eat right, drink right, and you think right. And you've definitely been a testament to that. And for you, that with this water and how it's benefited not just yourself and your family, but others, how do you see, because you didn't just do the water. I just want to speak to that. You ended up having what's known as the Alkaline Fest. So I want you to kind of speak to that and kind of speak to your vision in terms of what this has inspired you to do.
Different people, especially the younger generation. Younger generation needed a way out,
right?
You know, and they can tell their story better than I can. And the water gives them the opportunity to get a way out. What I mean by way out, they used to do things that weren't conducive to us as a people. Then they changed around and started using the water, you know, to make a better life for themselves, for their family, and even getting people up under them to become distributors. So we got quite a bunch of distributors around the globe, and we got other brand names for the water. And we got about 7 to 8 different brands that the water come up under. It's powered by Live Alkaline Water. So with that, you know, that was the whole key, one of the keys saying, if you can create jobs for other people, not just jobs, but business,
yes,
they own, man, that makes a big difference in the community. So I told them, I said, so if I can do it for you, you do it for other people. And that's what they have done, is went out and made a huge difference within these communities by creating other businesses off of it. Juice business, they got herbal products, you know, shea butter products that the water go in, hair products that the water go in, like I said, eye products, ear products. We got it all the way down to where we got water for dogs.
Wow.
So even the same results happen to the dogs are being healed, different animals are being healed. You know, I've seen some stuff that's very, very unbelievable unless you see it yourself.
Mm.
And I mean, it's something special with the land and with the water. And I'm giving you this story, Brother Sam. I remember me and my son, a couple of people was out here, and every night I would see this green light. And I couldn't figure out, what the heck is this light about? And as a matter of fact, do you remember when y'all was burning grass?
Yeah.
Throwing something on fire and the grass turned green. It was a green hue.
Wow.
And I was like, what in the world? But the minerals out here also does the same thing. It's got a green hue. We got rocks, man. You put a light on, they glow in the dark.
Wow.
Literally, people have seen it, and these are factual. I'm not just talking.
Yeah.
So it's like the land is a place of healing.
Yes.
And from there, you know, I wasn't going to open the land up because, you know, I kept it kind of quiet for a long time, for years, mm-hmm. before we let the public start coming out. And met these young brothers, and they were doing their thing from Heavy Energy University, you know, doing their thing. And they had asked me about, you know, having an event. I said, well, you know, I don't usually open up the land. We gotta keep private, you know, do what we gotta do. But then, you know, one year I said, well, let's go ahead and have the event out here. And so it started from there. We had the first one. It was kind of, you had some people in the city, some people came out here, and it went from there. And now, man, you get about 2,000 people every year
wow.
to come to this event. This year, we're expecting at least 3,000, if not more.
Yes. Yeah.
And I mean, if you want, you're talking about seeing a sight to see all your people in one area really enjoying themselves for 3 days camping, fishing, walking trails, you know, hearing artists talk, sing, perform. You got vendors out here. It's everything that we have been looking for, and to get opportunity, you know, to eat in the restaurant. Yeah, you remember I talked about I wanted the restaurant
yes. all
that years ago.
Yep.
To be to work out in the gym, we got a health and fitness center. And we're looking at getting the grocery store, we're looking at putting up the meditation and breakfast center. But it's all a process. What we're doing is all based on the revenue coming from the water.
Wow.
That way we ain't taxing our people for financing. We ain't begging our people.
Exactly.
Just taking the revenue that we do, and we do what we're supposed to do, and everything else start opening up for us.
Indeed. That's beautiful. That is beautiful. I definitely want to come to the one this year. When is the next one for people?
It's August the 2nd, the 3rd, and the 4th.
Got it.
That Friday, Saturday, and that Sunday. And I'll tell you, you don't want to miss it, brother. Trust me. Mm-hmm. Everybody that has come so far has had a healing experience. I'm telling you, when it's over, some people are still there after 2, 3, 4 days.
Right.
Just because.
Yeah. Well, no, but you already know. I've been on the land that I bear witness that land is a healing place. I bear witness to that. It's a certain serenity there that you can't get in too many other places. It's sacred. I bear witness to that. Absolutely.
Yes, sir.
Absolutely. Into the water that's on the land. I remember one of the days I was there. And just drunk the water. I didn't eat. I had no desire to eat anything. I just wanted to drink the water. I was like, this was paradise for me. You know what I'm saying? And it was just land, you know?
Yes,
I think there may have been one structure on the land, but it was just land back then. But the energy there is a beautiful energy. I bear witness to it. Absolutely. Absolutely.
I don't know if you remember doing the free equinox. You know, we had all the children, we had the sisters, the children, a lot of brothers, and they was going and getting in the springs.
Mm.
You know, a lot of them actually getting in the springs, going out to the backside of the springs, getting in, walking around, enjoying it. I mean, it was just refreshing. And then some people going right there to cool off. They said, man, good God, we ain't never had nothing like this before.
Yeah.
And people testified on the radio show. I remember they said, man, and when I drank that water, woo. and the sister, one sister said that when she was walking out around, I never forget that sister, older elder, after the events and stuff, she said when she walked around the land, and I'm talking about late at night in the woods, and she said, this land is blessed. She said, the blessed Mother Mary was on this land.
Mm.
That's exactly what she told us. And I just took a deep breath and just listened.
Yes. Yes. Absolutely. So I want to, with that, there's two questions. Matter of fact, I'm gonna post this question up here. Question was posted by the Lock Life. First question is, how do you become a distributor of the water, and does it matter what state you're in?
It doesn't matter. You can become a distributor if you get in touch with Bowen King at heavyenergyuniversity.com. He can kind of guide you through what it's gonna take to become a distributor. Or you can call Rainbow Water, get in touch with Rainbow Water, which you can go online and find and they can tell you what it's going to take to become a distributor.
There you have it. So Rainbow Water.
Right now, we're about 17, maybe 18 different states. Okay. And right now, working on two different countries in Africa.
Wow. Okay. Powerful, powerful. So there you have it, Rainbow Water. Also, go to heavyenergyuniversity.com. Shout out to the brothers behind that.
Vaughn
King, absolutely, absolutely. Shout out to them. And that's where, is that also the site where we can get the information on the Alkaline Fest?
Yes, sir.
Okay.
Well, if you go to heavyenergyuniversity.com, because they're the coordinators of the Alkaline Festival. You know, they told me I need to stay out of the way.
Understood.
They don't want too many people being too close to me, and I can understand that, security purposes.
Yeah, absolutely, absolutely. Yeah, you definitely ought to be protected, because what you're doing is very vital to the people. You know, like, water is life. Water, yes, is definitely life. And I guess while we kind of get into the final half, if you want to kind of speak to some of the things you sent me, you've been sending me, like, things in terms of the news and just what's going on here. It looks like there's going to be another emergency going down. Some things happening. What would you say is, because you spoke about how our people are always seem to be last, that we try to pray, we're very spiritual and things of that nature. And you always had this saying, don't be too spiritual, or so spiritual, I'm paraphrasing, that you have no earthly good. What is it that we as a people are lacking in that is preventing us from being where we need to be?
Well, I've learned over the years, what we're lacking is taking responsibility.
Mm.
See, it's easy to point a finger at someone else and say what they're doing.
Right.
But see, when that finger is turned back on, is like we have to turn that mirror around, and the question we have to ask ourselves is, what are we doing?
Yes.
Are we talking it? Are we just talking it, or are we going to walk it? So I'm saying to us, let's stop talking and walk this walk. Now, is it going to be an easy walk? No, because it's the road that's been less traveled. Mm-hmm. So that means we're about to clear out the debris. We may have to scoop up some stuff, throw some stuff to the side. But at the end of the day, is it worth it? I can bear witness, it's very much well worth it.
Yes.
It's very much so. I'm saying to us, let's take responsibility. Let's stop finding a reason not to do what we're supposed to do. Let's find all the reasons in the world to do what we're supposed to do. You know, because for me, I look at it, and I'm not just speaking for me, but the people around me, we decided, look, we're going to take the bull by the horns and ride. Let's see how far the bull can drag us.
Yes.
Let's see if I can ride the bull long enough, you know. Yes. And we've been riding, and now we done tamed the wild bull. So if I'm saying that to us, let's grab the bull by the horns, and let's ride it. Let's take responsibility. Because taking responsibility only means to have the ability to do what? To respond to a situation.
Indeed.
If we know they're going to shut down, why are we going to wait till they shut down? Why not just, okay, let's already prepare for the shutdown.
Right.
We know they're going to close the schools. Let's open up schools for ourselves and our children so we can feed our children.
Yes.
And that's what we're supposed to do. That's another thing that we have. We have a restaurant/school where we teach classes, where we teach our children. That's a start. I always tell people, you got to have a start.
Because
everything starts from a seed and grow.
Right.
So, yes, I'm saying let us take responsibility. Let us be responsible and stop pointing the finger at everybody else.
Absolutely. I agree. And we need, like you say, be proactive instead of reactive.
Exactly.
Yeah, we definitely have too much of that. Absolutely. So I agree. Absolutely, Noble. And you've always, from day one that I've met you, you've always demonstrated hard work. Like, that's one thing I can attest to, and which is, of course, a noble quality. Where do you get your work ethic from, and what keeps you going? You know, because you've been doing this for many years.
I had grandparents. You know, I that used to get us up every Saturday morning. And before we could look at TV, look at cartoons, they used to tell us, no, you're going to have to go out here and cut the grass. You go out to do the, I was a big Bruce Lee fan back in the day. You know, I always wanted to see them cartoon karate pictures come on.
Yeah.
So I wanted me to watch them. I had to have everything done. And she said, well, now we got to go somewhere and cut grass. And I used to cry about it. But the very thing that I cried about was the very thing that I ended up doing, getting mowing contracts, getting cleaning contracts, you know, stuff like that. I had a business, janitorial service, all that, doing the same thing that I cried about. Made plenty of money. You know, made plenty of money doing it. And I'm saying my work ethics came from my grandparents. My grandparents were hard workers. Yeah. My grandfather, man, he took care of at least three generations of children, you know. His children, his grandchildren, his great-grand, almost to the great-great-grand.
Wow.
And he never stopped until he closed his eyes. And so, you know, I looked at that, and that was an honorable thing to do, is to, you know, take care of your family, take care of the people that take care of you, you know.
Yeah.
That's what we're supposed to do. And we are, you know, I say, help me, help you, help yourself.
Right.
You know, that's how we're supposed to do it. That's, and I encourage everybody to do the same, you know. Start looking at, you know, where we lacking, where we slacking, and tighten up. You know, we as you get older, sometimes, you know, you slack a little bit, but we got to tighten up and, you know, get back to those work ethics, you know.
Yeah.
Nothing for nothing leaves nothing. If you ain't put nothing in the ground, don't expect nothing out.
Absolutely. Absolutely. You got to plant those seeds, not only literally, but figuratively as well in life. Absolutely.
Yeah, that's right.
Yeah.
So I'm still encouraging us, you know, let's do it. It's nothing too hard that we can't do.
Right.
You know, great work that we done, the greater work that we also do if we put our mind to it. It's like I say, it's mind over matter, brother.
Always. Always mind over matter. And you've shown that. And I want to just to add on to that and follow up what you're speaking on about how you say you got that from your grandparents. We're in a stage now where that connection with the elders, I feel and have observed, is not as strong as it used to be. What do you think it will take for us to get back to that with the work that you're doing?
Unfortunately, disaster.
Hmm.
And I say it like that because, like, you know, we used to work out in the gym. We used to say, well, what's going to make us better? No pain, no gain.
Right.
Sometimes it takes pain to move people. And it takes death. Funerals move people to the emotional state where they're, you know, even if it's for a moment, to try to unify, to try to do better.
Yes.
And sometimes it takes pain to push us to a point where we got to make a change.
Yes.
We went around with a beehive. When you keep playing with it, you'll get stronger. It's going to make you realize, look, we can't play with this. And life sometimes has to be painful to make us realize we can't play with life. We got to get back on the right track. And it's not for the bad. It's for our own good.
Yeah.
You know, a lot of things, a lot of things that we take as bad is really good for us if we understand or understand why it's happening like it's happening. And a lot of times we get off the path, and I think our people have gotten off the path of righteousness and went on this foolishness. And so now it's going to take a little pain to shift everything back. And unfortunately, you know, that's where we at. You know, we got way out there. We stop believing in each other. We stop believing in what the enemy has given us. You know, we'll take right for wrong and wrong for right.
Yeah.
And it's okay as long as the enemy say, oh, it'll be all right.
Yeah.
You know, and I'm saying it's not all right. Let's get back on the right path.
Absolutely.
You know, endure the pain, endure the hardship, and the reward is going to be greater. I can tell you, I know.
Right.
I've done it and still do it to this day.
Absolutely. Absolutely. Yeah, definitely going to take a little pain. I think that to add to what you're saying, one of the things I saw when I first was working with you and I put out the book and was talking about telling people about the sustainable living, it wasn't being embraced widely. And what I noticed is after the pandemic, there was more talk about it. I mean, there's always been pockets of people speaking on it, but you know, now it's not uncommon for somebody to say, oh yeah, you need to get some land. We need to, you know, because now they know what it's like to have stores shut down. Now they know what it's like to have to stay in the house and, you know, and certain things not be accessible. So, you know, and then you can tell on the flip side, you know, the enemy is pushing hard to lull our people to sleep with a lot of the nonsense. And so I'm very thankful that there's examples such as yourself to still show that, hey, look, you know, don't go to sleep. We still have work to do. There's still things we can do. And the fact that the Alkaline Fest is growing and becoming international is an attestment to that. Absolutely. So again, I thank you, Noble, for being on. Again, this is our brother, Robert McRae, the CEO of Live Alkaline Water. And while we conclude, is there any final words you want to give to the people?
I'm saying help us help you help yourself. Let's prepare. You know, we know what they're trying to do. If they tell you they're going to shut it down, they're going to shut the food off, they're going to shut the water off, I think we need to get all hands on deck to come and truly help with an open heart, with a pure heart. Help us. And so we can survive through this crisis that they're trying to set up. We know we're going to make it anyway.
Right.
Because we are the righteous. But at the same time, the Most High gave us common sense. And common sense is the common ground to work and unify. And I don't care, like I said, I don't care what religion you are, what you believe in, that's your choice. But what I do know, when you're hungry, you don't care who feeds you as long as you can eat. When you're thirsty, you don't care who gives you water as long as you can drink. Yeah. Why not offset that and say, look, it's Live Alkaline Water. He's local. He's right here in the Carolinas and abroad. Why not help him? So help us help you help yourself.
Indeed. Indeed. No, absolutely. That's what we're here for. And again, everybody, be sure to check out HeavyEnergyUniversity.com. I've posted the link in the description. Be sure to check it out and reach out to these brothers. They're doing tremendous work. Shout out to them. Honest to you, Noble, and honest to everyone who's tuned in. And until next time, peace. Peace and love.
Peace and love. I thank you, brother.
Thank you, brother.